the podcast with everything paranormal. This is the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, Jen and Joe.
Jen and Joe.
Me and Jen.
Joe.
What up?
Just chilling like Gilligan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, Joe.
Yes?
I heard you had a dream.
Yeah.
Tell me about your dream.
So, okay, I don't do drugs. All right, I have to put that out there.
Or drink.
Yeah. But I had a dream last night that we were in some house and there were some animals in there. I don't remember what type of animals, but I do remember one that I kept thinking was a dog, but turned out to be a squirrel.
Yeah.
That you put a blue sweater on and it climbed up my pant leg and climbed up onto a ledge next to me. It was looking at me like, feed me.
Nice. I would put sweaters on squirrels.
Yeah, I know
if
you
I could.
Would.
I would. And rabbits. I used to put a scarf and a hat on my rabbit. She didn't like it. But she would tear that off.
I would imagine that she wouldn't, but.
I know. It's time for a new bunny, Joe. New year, new bunny.
Yeah.
But anyways, so let's see what else is going on. So
what else is going on,
Jen? Couple weird things in my house again. I was standing there and I saw like this white kind of orby thing go by and I thought, okay, maybe it's just a, you know, something on my contact or other. And I said, okay, do it again. And the exact same thing happened again.
Dun, dun,
it's
dun.
Right in the same spot where I saw that shadow figure.
Really?
Like in the dining room, right before you get into the living room, right there.
Do you want to investigate your house?
Kind of, sort of, but then I was like, I don't want to stir anything up. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's already stirred up.
I don't know, but what I want to do, I want to get one of those trap cameras and put it in the living room overnight or while I'm gone during the day and see if it gets anything.
See if there's a party at your house.
There probably
the day
is. Some bunch of squirrels coming in and blue sweaters. But anyways, that's all that's going on. Just getting ready for our travels this year. And, you know, we've got a lot of places we're going, so everybody's got to come and see us.
Almost booked up every month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like two or three places a month.
All the way to the end of the year.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's great. But don't worry. Our podcast will go on.
Well, that's the whole idea of going to these
bring
places.
Bring you lots of paranormal information. Speaking of the paranormal, we have a special guest here today in the studio, live and in person. With us, we have Devin Beach. He is with Life Spirit Paranormal. Welcome, Devin.
Hello.
Hi. How are ya?
Pretty good.
Good. So, Joe, how did you meet Devin?
Through the conventions.
Yes. So I think
that's why we go to conventions to meet people.
Paranormal Toledo convention at the Collingwood Arts Center, I think, is where we met, right? Or did I meet you before that?
You said that you've seen me at the very first one.
Yeah.
Back in like 2016.
Yeah. I think we said hello or something. But that was an interesting convention, wasn't it? Like that first one was a full moon. Remember, it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
And that building was so active.
Yep. And then that night, I had a investigation at the yacht club. So I had everything going on that day.
You did. That's a lot. Be at that convention all day and then go ghost hunting.
Two
and then, did you investigate on the second one, this year's one?
Yeah.
Because
that's when we got lost.
That's right. Devin and I got lost up in, we went up in the attic where they housed they have all the costumes for the theater up there.
Yeah,
and that lady tripped. I didn't even know. Yeah, it was interesting because I didn't even know that was up there. And it went way back in the attic. And it was like, that was cool. We could have spent some time up in there. But remember that lady came up and then she tripped and fell.
Oh, yeah.
That was, oh my God, I felt so bad for her. This old lady was up there and she tripped and fell. Ugh. But anyways.
You know what she needs? Did you see the video I put on Facebook yesterday of the waistband airbag
system? Yes, I did see that. That was
funny. It's like a belt. And when you start to fall over, the airbags pop out. So it's
not a bad idea. I probably need it because I fall all the time. But so, Devin, you've been doing this paranormal thing for a while now, right?
Yeah, it's probably since 2012, 2011.
Tell us a little bit about your group and some of the places you guys have been to, and then we'll talk a little bit about like all your evidence that you get.
Well, when we first began, we were originally called Shadowlands Paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until like a friend of ours said something about that they have public investigations at the yacht club.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I found out about the yacht club.
Oh, cool.
And then, but then right before we went to do the investigation at the yacht club, my dad was like, well, maybe, you know, he was popping up with like these other names that we can possibly switch to. Mm-hmm. And the one was Life Spirits Paranormal. And I'm like, well, just hold on that thought for a moment. And then it was a few weeks later, then I was like, okay, well, we're going to go with Life Spirits Paranormal. And I mean, for the most part, we have about 4 to 5 members that are like the core members. And then we do have other people that I do bring in, you know, if I need more people, then I can bring them in. And then, I mean, for the places that we've been, when we first began, it was like just to go to like walkthroughs.
Yeah.
So it was like Fort Meigs, you know, with the Wolcott House.
Yeah. I've never been there. We got to get there.
Oh, it's pretty active. Now, I wish that they would open it up to investigations because it's probably one of the most active places. Maybe not the most active, but one of the most active in the area.
Okay.
But like the Wolcott House and Fort Meigs, you know, like just the basic walkthroughs and before we could actually go on our own and do our own investigations. Because at the time I was in high school.
Oh.
Yes, he is a youngin.
The baby. Baby of the paranormal family.
I know a lot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Devin really has, you know, really done his research, and he's really been in some interesting investigations and does a thorough job, too, you know. Like, and you took the class, right?
Yeah, I did, just to see what it was about.
Yeah, so he was in the Ghost Hunting 101 class, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Even though it was, you know, 101, but I still learned stuff, you know. Like, there was stuff that I learned from it, and I've been doing this, what, 10 years now? Maybe.
Maybe.
Not the show, but investigating. Oh, okay. But so moving on, tell us why do you love the paranormal? Why do you love investigating? Why do you love all this crazy weird stuff like we do?
My best explanation is from what I can remember anyway, is that ever since I was like young, like I'm talking like probably 6 or 5 or 5 or 6, like from what I remember, like I said, like I always had like this thought that like I this was sort of way before I even watched the shows. I was like I never said this like even to myself, but I was like, maybe there is something else. I'm sort of thinking, you know, like looking back on it, that I always had like this thought that there was something else. And then I began to watch the shows like Most Haunted, you know,
yes,
with the
I love that
over
show.
UK.
Yeah.
I mean, so I was watching the shows like Most Haunted. And then when Taps first began, I watched them, and then Paranormal State. And then I watched almost every show, and I watched them come and go, like Deep South. They aren't
that
even
was
on
like
anymore.
One season.
Yeah, they're just like about a few episodes of them. But I got involved like because I sort of had like this feeling, like I never doubted that there was something else out there. Like I sort of had like this feeling that there already was. So and then the shows were like, okay, well, this sort of proves it, but. Even at a young age, I was investigating my own house from like 6 years old.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Was there activity in your house, or were you just trying to see if there was anything there?
No, we actually lived in a haunted house.
Oh, tell us about the haunted house.
Well, I mean, what I probably shouldn't have done is investigate when I was home alone one day.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, since I was so young that, I mean, I'm not now, but at the time I was like afraid of being alone in the dark.
Okay.
And then I was like, well, and also it was the basement that I was in. So I'm like, so is somebody able to come up to the steps and wait for me while I walk up the steps? Because I don't want I mean, it was just a basement. So you always have like the feeling that there's somebody behind you.
Yeah.
So
always. I was always scared of my mom and dad's basement. I mean, I've been in there a million times, but yeah, there was always like, something's going to get me. But what kind of activity did you have in the house that made you thought that it was haunted?
Well, we've seen shadow figures.
Ooh.
And objects would move. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it move on our, with our own eyes. And then when my mom was home and when my mom wasn't home, I would hear my name called. And then so would my sister.
Wow.
She would hear her name called. Or be called, and then we would ask our mom and dad, like, hey, so did you say your name? And they'd be like, no, we didn't. Well, I swore I just heard your name or our name being called. So those are just a few of the stuff.
Now, where did you see the shadow figures? Like, it was in different rooms or always in one place?
The one main one that we've seen was in the dining room.
Okay.
And it was three of us that seen it, me, my mom, and my sister. We thought it was my dad.
Uh-huh.
But he was either in in their bedroom or the bathroom. I can't remember. But he was somewhere else in a different part of the house. And it sort of bent over from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it never popped back up. Like, it was just gone.
Wow.
So.
And to have three people actually see it, that's amazing.
That's cool. Did you do any research of, like, maybe why the house was haunted?
It wasn't revealed to us until after he moved out that our neighbor, who's a friend of ours now, but after we moved out of the house, our old neighbor said that, a man he was a heavy smoker, so he had cancer. And so he knew that he was going to die. Mm-hmm. So what he did is he put a bag over his head and then suffocated himself.
Oh, that's sad. Man. So maybe that was him.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuck in there. Didn't want to go.
Mm-mm.
No, you don't live in that house anymore. You guys move or are you still there?
No, we moved.
Okay.
I mean, I did talk to the family that's in there now to see if I can walk through or
do an investigation
or something like that, or just do like a normal, just to walk through, just to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they said no. Well, I mean, it wasn't really like a no. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't no, but it was mainly because they had a bunch of big dogs and they don't want them, all over the place.
Yeah. And how do you go up to somebody and say, hi, I used to live here and I want to come investigate because of all the ghosts?
How do you have that conversation? So do you think maybe that, did it follow you or do you think it stayed there? Have you had other activity like where you're living now or?
Yeah.
Man.
But we don't know if it's, at that house, we sort of named it George.
Mm-hmm.
So it. And it seems like that name is a very popular name for just naming ghosts.
Yeah, really.
But at the time, we named it George, and my sister and I, not so much me now, my sister feels like it sort of left with us when we left the house. She has her own place now, but from what we did, we left the house, and we do have activity at our house right now. Not sure if it's virtual or not, but also my sister has stuff happen at her house. So almost everywhere that we lived, we had something happen. Mm-hmm. Like even the houses before that house, which is on Hannaford. Before that house, we went or we had things happen.
Wow.
Almost ever since I was born, things was going on. So.
That's interesting because you wonder, is it tied to the places you live or is it tied to the people who are there?
Right.
Yeah, it could be your relatives from bygone era coming back to stay around you because they say, those people over there, they say that your spirits that hang around you have been hanging around you and the people in your life have been around you for generations after generations. So it could be. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, as long as, you don't feel frightened or there's not strange things happening, I wouldn't, I don't mind somebody, that's your people. Maybe they're just looking out for you.
Yeah.
They want, I mean, you've been to many, many haunted locations. So, something could have come home with you. I mean, we're learning this, as we do these things that we got to make sure that we tell them spirits to stay where they are. Do not come home with us.
Right. Yeah.
Joe's not that kind of kind of guy.
There are no spirits attracted to me. Every time I go into a haunted location, they flee. Scatter. Yeah, they're scared, like, of him. I don't want to be around that guy.
But yeah.
So, on your investigations, what have you run into? I mean, what's some of the evidence that you've captured that you want to talk about?
Well, at the Arts Center, for when we went,
mm-hmm.
when because it was since it was a public investigation, there was the public there.
Yeah.
But what I liked was is that they sort of made a circle around us.
Yeah.
And and they sort of just watched and in that moment I was sort of like the big names.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Was that in the basement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There was like we snuck down there because they did have a paid investigation that night, and we kind of snuck down. We're like, oh, everybody's standing around. But well, I remember everybody watching you, and yeah.
There wasn't really anybody leading them, mm-hmm. you know, and half of them didn't even know where to, you know, where to go. Like, mm-hmm. have you been in the basement? Like, no, where's that at?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, you've been right. there before, so you know where to go and what to do and the hot spots, because it right. was active that night.
It was. And from what you and I seen, because I don't know if you remember this or not, but when I seen that light,
yes.
that was in the death room, I mm-hmm. thought it was a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but then I went over there and then I shined my flashlight, but mm-hmm. then you said that you could still see the beam
yeah.
of light.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was big, about the size of my fist mm-hmm. or so. I mean, it was like a big white ball of light.
Yeah. Okay.
In the death room down there. And then either before or after that was like a smaller, like red or blue ball of light that mm-hmm. left the room as well.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I think you said as well with yeah. that ball of light.
Cool.
But then also down in the basement, once we found out where the dressing rooms are,
mm-hmm.
I was down there with a few of the people that were there on the investigation. And I was sitting down there with them. And I was just sitting down there, and I was looking down to where you walk into the dressing room. And I seen what looked like a lady. But she didn't look like a normal lady, though. I don't know. It was weird. Like, I seen her, but I didn't.
Okay.
It was sort of like a, like, when I seen her, it sort of felt like a sort of a hypnosis thing.
Really?
Yeah, it was sort of weird.
Interesting.
Maybe had a time slip or something.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Because during time slips, people seem to get dizzy and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know if you did, but what I'm saying is they
yeah.
it almost seems like they're phasing. So they're part of that where they'll either get dizzy or they'll be like lose time, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, when I saw that, I mean, it felt like the whole room was just going like in circles. It felt like I was having like on like a ship or something.
That's interesting.
So just like rocking back and forth.
And, you know, it's weird because I don't think a lot of people know about that dressing room area. It's kind of like around the way. You know, if you didn't know it was there, you would never find it mm-hmm. type thing, you know.
Right.
But it's so dark down there, too. There's, like, light. And, yeah, I got a creepy feeling in that room a couple times.
When I went in there, I felt like there was a lady in there hiding from something.
So then maybe the one that I saw.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you remember the spirit box saying your name? When I had the spirit box going, it said your name.
Yeah.
That was like, oh my God, it just said your name. That was crazy.
Yeah, but then we went to that other room down in the basement, and then it said, and then I got called a bad word.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got like named something by the spirits down there, but...
That's always interesting. And but think about it, though. That's a good point, because how the spirit box works is it's sweeping the radio frequencies. And a lot of people say, oh, you're just hearing the DJs. But that's a huge thing when it cusses, because the DJs don't cuss.
Yeah.
Right.
They can't say mm-hmm. bad words on the radio.
Yeah. I mean, it was the B word that mm-hmm. I got called. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting how different it was from the first time we were there to last year. Like, the energy was totally different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It felt very dark.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in that laundry room, that, you know, the big metal doors, and you go into that where they used to do the laundry.
Oh, yeah.
That was really kind of freaky in there. That we had a lot of activity on the spirit box in there. I had some of the group people in there. I don't know if you were in there with me. I think you were out.
Well, that's where I got called to.
Yeah. I forgot.
And that was weird, too, because on that same day is when the girl from the other group got the handprint on her neck.
Yeah.
She actually had like burns in the print of somebody, like if somebody grabbed her neck. Yeah. She had that. The wall fell over on some people. And then later in the day, me and Grizz got knocked over by this wall. You know, like a temporary
right
wall.
Outside the death room.
Yeah, I think I might have been down there with you guys. Yeah.
We got knocked. I mean, I thought Grizz fell over. I was worried about him. And I turn around and he's nowhere. And he's on the ground. I'm like, he's like, I wasn't even touching that thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that takes a lot of energy for something to do that.
Yeah, I felt it rocking and I was like kind of putting my shoulder into it because I thought he was holding up to it to stand up. And he wasn't even close to it.
Wow. So where else have you investigated outside of the Kellingwood?
Fulton County.
Ooh, Fulton. What's going on in Fulton County, Ohio?
Well, we have the Fulton County Historical Museum.
Oh, okay.
And what happened there, or I should give you like a little background on Fulton County. So it used to be first it was a school, and then it was a hospital, and then there was like a third building in there. What it was before, I think it was owned. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. So it was a school, a hospital, and then a apartment building. And then now it's a museum.
Okay.
So it was four buildings, and now it's in its fourth stage. I mean, it hasn't switched, you know, I mean, they haven't knocked it down or anything.
Okay.
It's like it is still the same building from its original form.
All right.
I mean, they just did updates, you know, on the outside. But now what happened there, since it used to be a hospital, when we went there, during our investigation, John, who is the director there, he gave me a white lab coat and not knowing what would have happened or what did happen or what was going to happen to me anyway, I put on the lab coat and then I went up to the surgery room because when this was a hospital, there was a wreck there and everybody came through this one hospital because it was the only hospital in Fulton County at the time.
Okay.
So this one room was the surgery room and I was up there by myself and the other two guys were down at nerve center at base watching everything. And so we had the IVLIS on the surgery table and it was just saying words. And then I went to go look down at the words. And then right when I was reading them, I felt like this overwhelming feeling of sadness. Oh. And then I sort of began to cry.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yeah. Just out of the blue. but then I wasn't but I had a really hard time breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was sort of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I had now when I say this to people or when I tell this to people, I sort of say, I was me in that moment, but I felt like I wasn't.
Okay.
Only for a few different reasons. I remember thinking to myself, I have to get out of this room. That's the only thought that I remember myself having. Now, when I left the room, I don't know where I was going. I just left.
Oh my gosh.
But we did have a motion alarm. However, you actually need to physically touch the alarm for it to go off.
Okay.
Because I walked by this alarm multiple times and it never went off. It was only when it was moved or something that it went off. And I did the alarm or I walked by the alarm after this happened.
Okay.
And I sort of forgot I was there. And then it made this loud noise and then I jumped and sort of yelled. And, and then I was right on the wall, in the hallway, and I just was there. And in that moment when I was up against the wall, it sort of felt like there was just things just beginning to surround me. And then I just yelled for the guys downstairs and
oh wow,
then it sort of went away. But it was just weird how everything happened.
Now, during that, did they get anything on video or audio?
They did say that they were able to see my breath.
Okay.
You know, on the DVR. Mm-hmm. But when we went over it, I wasn't able to see the breath. But in that moment, they said that they seen it.
Interesting.
I don't know if it sort of switched or not.
But yeah.
It was interesting, though.
You know, and you don't know if that was an entity or a spirit, you know, manifesting as a haze or that. You know, you never know.
Right.
And for you to get that feeling, maybe it was something that, I don't want to say inside you, but basically inside you that came out.
Yeah. Or maybe it jumped into you.
Yeah.
The ghost jumped in, you right. know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, after that happened, I went outside to go get some fresh air. And then, mm-hmm. and then when I came back inside, it wasn't until I came back inside that John told me, hey, there was a lady that is said to have been raped by a doctor here. I'm like, oh great. Oh,
nice. Nice. Yeah.
Now I have the lab coat
you
on.
You put the coat on and here, let's try this experiment.
Oh, nice. What were they setting you up for?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's interesting. Now, was it a train wreck or was it like
yeah.
a, oh, okay.
Yeah. It was like a massive wreck that I think almost everybody on the train went through this. And those are the words I got, wreck and then news. I'm like, well, for that to be.
Yeah, that's sort of cool. Interesting. We're going to have to get down there. Maybe we can all go down there sometime and check it out.
Yeah.
Was there any other activity in that building? Was there a basement or anything?
Yeah, there was.
Okay.
Nothing really happened in the basement. It was just sort of good, I guess, because I don't know. I mean, it was just sort of like a weird basement. Like, I mean, it had like a dirt floor.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an old basement.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing really happened in the basement that much as to oppose the second floor, which is where the surgery room was mm-hmm. going on. But throughout the night, though, and this also happened on other investigations afterward, when I was either... Okay, yeah, that's what it was. When I was from Nerve, and I was doing like a live Facebook video.
Okay.
And I think this is even in the video that they say it, that I was walking on the first floor. I walked down on the other side of the building, showing people what it all looks like and what's the stuff that's been going on so far. And when I get back to Nerve Center, Frank says that he thought that he seen me right in the doorway, sort of looking just up the steps. I'm like, no, I was on the other half of the building.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
That's cool.
I mean, he said that he seen the white lab coat and everything and then like the black jeans. And
okay.
I'm like, I'm on the other half of the building. So I don't know what you're seeing there.
Isn't that a doppelganger where people see you and or some see an investigator or somebody in one part of the building, but they're actually in a totally another? That's that's a common thing in the paranormal.
I sort of think it's something that's following me based upon that.
Oh, it could happen.
And taking your form.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's scary.
Because it's not the only time that, or that's not the last time it has happened.
Mm-hmm. What other time did that happen and where?
Well,
same place?
No, the Fulton County investigation was in around Halloween time.
Okay.
And then we went to the old mill just in December here.
Okay.
And then Frank went down in the basement of the old mill up in Dundee.
Mm-hmm. Michigan, everybody.
Yeah. All on his own. So he went down in the basement all on his own. And all of us were at Nerve. So while he was down in the basement, I sort of did another Facebook Live video.
Okay.
I mean, there sort of seems to be something going on when, I mean, when I'm separated from him and then I do a Facebook Live video. So I never thought about it, but something happening there. But when he was down in the basement, me and another investigator went up on the third floor. So we're in totally separate places.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time that he sees something in the basement or seen something walk past him, I was up on the third floor. And then I got back down to Nerve before he came back up. So I got down to Nerve, and then he came back upstairs. And he said to me, I thought you were downstairs, you know, because he asked me, have you ever walked downstairs yet? you know, while I was down there. I'm like, no, I was up on the third floor. He thought I was lying to him. I'm like, no, I was up on the third floor.
Sorry, I just sneezed on the show.
So I was up on the third floor, and I'm like, no, I wasn't. But he went like this, like right at my black pants. You know, he said that he seen the black pants and maybe not exactly what I was wearing, but yeah. He did say that it was black, and I did have black on at the time. Okay. But he said that it was all black. So
you have a spirit that's following you that wants to be like you.
I guess so.
It's not a bad thing. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery, yeah, or something like that.
So I know that you're not just into ghosts. You're also into like Bigfoot and UFOs and all that.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Or?
Yeah.
Let's do it. So Joe and I were talking before the show that there was some new footage this week. Somebody captured a Bigfoot on videotape, and it's pretty clear. Oh, and yeah? It definitely looks ape-like, but it was walking bipedally. And I do have my Sasquatch socks on today, by the way. But yeah, it's just interesting because, you know, it's like it's really becoming pretty mainstream these days, more so than it has in a while. You know, like, yeah, during the 70s and into the 80s, it was really wildly popular, and then it kind of fell off. But now, you know, they're really starting to ramp up the activity around
this. You know, and it's almost like the paranormal aspect of like ghosty side of it is ramping up. There's more Bigfoot sightings going on now. I mean, it just seems like everything is kind of ramping up a little bit. Don't know why. But even an area here in town called Five Points, that's getting really active again.
That's where I live.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems like, you know, do you think like maybe people are just becoming more aware of the paranormal and Bigfoots and aliens? Or do you think that maybe it's just that time that they're going to reveal themselves to human beings? What do you think?
I don't think they're going to reveal themselves. Like, I think they're just, like, I mean, I, like, there's probably more people out there doing it now,
yeah,
than there was a while ago. That's probably what it is. So, since there's more people out there, there's going to be more video, audio things of that regard. And so, sort of the same goes with the ghosts and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, since there's more people, there's going to be a lot more evidence.
Yeah.
On the whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. So.
What do you believe about Bigfoot? Do you think he's out there, or it's what do you think it is? I mean, your personal feeling. Do you think it's a different species? Do you think it's something that's been placed here by aliens? What's your thoughts?
I don't think it's something that's been placed by aliens. If it is something with aliens, it might be an alien itself. But I don't really follow that sort of theory. Mm-hmm. If I had to answer that, what I feel personally. Then I'm going to say like an actual physical animal. However, there have been some things that I've learned that other people have seen Bigfoot do, mm-hmm, and what Bigfoot kind of does. And I'm like, I don't know anymore.
See, that's the thing. We never know. There's so many different types of stories, from Bigfoot's vanishing into thin air right in front of people,
yep,
to them seeing just legs, like they don't know how to phase completely out. Or from the one story, this couple was driving on the road, and all of a sudden they saw a Bigfoot come running out into the road in a total panic, kind of looked at them and went, oh, run, human, you know, and took off, and a blue orb come out of the woods chasing, yeah, it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a thing, though, is that, mm-hmm, some people report either before or after they've seen Bigfoot is like balls of light.
Yeah.
Like in the woods.
Interesting.
I mean, there's multiple reports of that. I mean, not as much as Bigfoot itself, but there's multiple, I mean, more than what you would think, mm-hmm, that there's like balls of light in those Bigfoot encounters.
It's so interesting.
It's their only foe. It's what keeps the Bigfoot population down.
Maybe. But like, you know, like with any animal, and you do and you don't find carcasses. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I don't get. Why aren't we finding
bones? I actually heard an interesting thing about that this week. If you ask like a DNR agent or, you know, like a parks ranger, that they say they don't even find bones of like bear and stuff, because there's animals. First, the bugs and the animals eat the fleshy parts, and then like porcupine and stuff like that actually eat bone.
Oh.
So that could be a reason. Now, Arizona Tramp mentions that Bigfoot bury their dead. So we don't know.
Yeah, that's one theory as well.
Or the blue orb people come and get them.
Oh. You never know. You never know. But you would think there would be some type of like, you know, at some point, I mean, they don't like just, you know, get eaten overnight by all these bugs and stuff. And you know how you go, like, last night I was coming home from work and there was a dead deer on the side of the road. I'm like, how come there hasn't been a Bigfoot like gotten hit and killed on a road? Because they seem to cross the road a lot.
Yeah, but when they go over the road, I mean, they only take like three steps.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it's interesting because like Joe and I looked at a map of like the United States, and it seemed like Ohio and Pennsylvania are like the biggest concentration of Bigfoot sightings. And I was like, we all need to go Bigfoot hunting sometime, because that's something we haven't done. We go ghost hunting, but we haven't gone Bigfoot hunting. We got to do it.
When it's warm out.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not tromping around in the woods in 20 degrees.
Going, you just have to bundle up, right?
Yeah, right. I don't know. My feeling is it's just a subspecies of like some kind of like, you know, branch of somewhere between an ape and a human, you know, because there was up until like, I think it was the early 1800s, there was one woman in Russia who was a descendant of the, what did they call it?
Neanderthal?
That's it. I can't say that word. They, you know, they did the DNA testing on her, and she was like one of the last descendants like of that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, and look at all the animals they find in like, you know, every year they find new species of animals and stuff. They may be smaller, but they're still out there.
Yeah. And size is really relevant, because they just found that ape. There was a new ape that they actually found that never even knew existed.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Yeah. Right. There could be Bigfoots. There could be aliens. There could be Thunderbirds, Mothmans.
No, but you did bring up that Russian Bigfoot, and I don't know if you guys seen it or not, but there was like a sort of a documentary on TV like a few years ago, and it was about the Russian Bigfoot or the Russian Yeti. And what it was about was this true case of these hikers or of these campers that they went up to this mountain and then they got attacked and got mauled by what people think might have been Bigfoot. But what they had to do in order to get here is they had to go through these native towns, and then even the native said, don't go up there. Because I don't know if you're ever going to come back or not, but they said, just don't go up there. That's as far as I know, based upon what they said to him. Now, what happened to him, and you can even find photos on Google of this from when the people found their bodies and whatnot. So all of their tongues were ripped out.
Oh.
And they were in the tent, and based upon the tent fight or the, but based upon how everything looked, the investigator said that they were hiding in the tent from fear or from whatever was outside of the tent, because something was lurking outside the tent.
Okay.
Now, I think they wrote this down in like notes or somewhere. They did say that something, you know, so these are the people that were getting, or that before they got attacked, they did sort of recall. I don't remember if they wrote it down or had it in like a book or something. They said that there was something lurking in the woods, but they didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But they just said that something was lurking in the woods.
Okay. So that's interesting, because you never know what you're going to run into out in the woods there.
Well, yeah, you know, like we know about bears, you know, and bears do attack people, but it's very rare that they, you know, they're more after your food than wanting to eat a human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and that's also brings up a point that I remember is, a lot of times you know, there's different subsets of Bigfoots, you know, different sizes and stuff. And they say that the ones down in southern Ohio and stuff like that are more aggressive than the ones out in like California and Canada. So maybe that is a subset of them out in Russia that are more aggressive to humans.
Yeah. I mean, it could be climate too, you know, like it may be harder to find food in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe if it's winter time or something like that. Depending on, you know, if they're hungry enough, they might come after a human.
Yeah.
Easy prey. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I, you know, Joe and I went up to the UP and there was a sighting up there like 2 weeks before we had gotten up there.
Yeah.
They saw one go across the highway, or there was a report of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they may be in this area. You know, they may migrate. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Right.
Follow the food or whatever, but there's Ohio and Pennsylvania, there's plenty, you know. If they are, what do you think? Do you think they're meat eaters? Do you think they're carnivores?
I think they're like us, omnivores, mm-hmm. you know, that they eat plants and meat because I was watching. Now, I said this before the show, mm-hmm. but I said that over like the past week for this show, I was watching a whole bunch of Bigfoot and UFO stuff.
Okay.
But in one of those shows that I was watching, this one guy had a good point that he was asked that as well. And he said, well, I think they're omnivores like us because, for instance, if the meat source or if the deers aren't enough or not that many in the area,
mm-hmm.
well, then they have to find something else to feed themselves. So
yeah.
It's going to be some sort of plant or some of the berries in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... And people don't realize that, you know, they think, oh, there's forests and stuff like that. But there, when Joe and I drove through New York and Pennsylvania, there was just hundreds and hundreds of acres of, like, just forest. Like, there's nothing around. So it's very possible that they could be out there and we wouldn't know. I mean, people don't understand how vast America is, you know what I mean? There's so many places that we haven't even discovered or been to, you know, here in the States. So yeah. You just never know.
That was one thing, you know, and I don't know if you've been out there, but we went to the Shanley Hotel and did an investigation. And the drive out there was just as interesting as the hotel because as far as you can see, it's a thick forest. And you think, no wonder if Bigfoot's in there, he's not being seen because it's so thick. And... you know, how many people are actually going to travel into those woods? You know, I'm sure there's people that live there, but to travel into there is just mind-blowing that there's so much vast areas that we haven't even seen yet. And being that they never get seen or caught, well, they get seen, but never get caught, obviously they're doing something right to where they can hide better than us, you know?
Right.
Yeah, reigning hide-and-seek champion.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they just, their eyesight and their sense of smell and hearing is just maybe so far advanced. You know, mm-hmm. be like a wolf or you know, any other animal that has more just that predatory sense of, you know, to stay away from us. But mm-hmm. then there's been reports that they come up to, like, cabins and stuff and peek in the windows.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've... probably have a heart attack if I looked up and there was a Bigfoot pounding on my window.
About that, there's a story of a lady that lived in like this small little town, and her neighbors would shoot at these things.
Oh my gosh.
But she never shot at them.
Mm-hmm.
So, however, she would say that it would walk around her house, peep in the window and whatnot. But it wouldn't harm her.
Mm-hmm.
However, the neighbors or the people that were shooting at him, their pets all got killed, and then so did their farm animals. But then her dogs and then her pets never mm-hmm. got killed. Oh. So it's sort of new, because me and my dad had said this, like, it's sort of new that what was her dogs and what wasn't.
Okay.
So either it sort of stayed back mm-hmm. and sort of watched what dogs go in and out of the house.
Oh.
Or it sort of already knew that. So it was sort of weird.
There's a lot of stories where they really show their intelligence. I mean.
Yeah. Like, I don't think people give animals as much credit as they do. You know, they say, like, dolphins are highly advanced. Mm-hmm. And they say pigs are very smart and intelligent. I don't know. You know, you just don't know until we actually get some kind of hardcore evidence or capture one of these things. And you know, who knows? Maybe they have, and the government or whoever just, you know, doesn't let the public know because they don't want to panic them, you know, or they just maybe just want to let them be and not be poached or, you know, right, put in a sideshow or whatever. Mm-hmm. You ever just wondered, you ever see those people that have that disease where they have like the hair all over their face? Like they call it like a Wolfman disease or something like that. There was like some brothers in Mexico that had this genetic disorder where they had fur or hair all over their bodies.
Yeah.
You wonder if like maybe somebody like that would be walking around, somebody would think they were Bigfoot. You know, like,
hey,
I just think the weird stuff. You never know.
I just thought maybe it was a love child.
Your love child, your mustache love child. But okay, why is my phone's acting weird? The camera just turned on and I didn't even touch it.
Oh,
okay. Freaky stuff happens. Oh, and I just have to tell you guys. Okay, so I have this bedroom in my on my nightstand and my or this light in my bedroom on my nightstand. It goes on and off all the time. It's one of those touch lamps.
Oh, okay.
So like I'll be in the living room, so I'll see the light go on. I'm like, I'm not even in there. There's like no static electricity. You know what I mean? Like something weird's going on. I've got to get that trap camera. I'll capture a Bigfoot in my backyard and a ghost in my house. But anyways, what else you want to talk about? Devin, you got anything else that you want to let the people know about? You want to tell them about your group or if they need your help investigating how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, you can get a hold of us on Facebook. We all like on Facebook under Life Spirits Paranormal. We actually updated a few things and we plan on getting a website here soon.
Good.
But as of right now, our website that is linked from Facebook is our YouTube page.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I mean, that's the only thing outside of Facebook that we have right now.
Do you have some like evidence and stuff that you have on YouTube?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff have you guys captured? Or?
Well, right now we are doing it like a season. I mean, we do have some of our old stuff from like the yacht club and things like that, like evidence-based videos. But now we're sort of having it like sort of what you see on TV, like a season.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we only have two shows up. Because we're in the process of editing, you know, the last few of them.
Okay.
But, yeah, we do have it. The first two are the one is the Gill House.
Okay.
That was the first episode of the season. Then the second episode is A Haunting in Monroe, Michigan.
Nice.
So.
We have to go back to the Gill House. I think we should do another.
Yeah, Jane just, I posted on Facebook. I'm like, Saturday night, no plans. What's going on? She says, the Gill House is available. I was like, oh, yeah, but so, you know, I can't get everybody together so quick.
Yeah, it's a neat place, isn't it? Don't you like that basement down there?
Yeah.
We had some interesting things happen in the basement.
Now, you, Joe, said that you actually seen or heard something. Now, that's the one time that they didn't run from you, but.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So, where else? No, you've been to Waverly. Before we go, I just wanted to talk a little bit about your experience at Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Yeah.
The infamous Waverly. What was your overall take of that place?
Well, we went on a public investigation just to get a feel for the place. So I went with my sister and nothing much or not much happened on that investigation. Only because after a while, she was sort of getting afraid of things, so she sort of wanted to leave early. So, and she's actually 8 years older than me. So.
Oh.
So
they have to listen to your big sister. Yeah. <You're> like,
I mean, in that case, you know, what she says sort of happens. So, but no, I mean, nothing really happened. But when we were walking through the hallways, like, I know a lot of people say this, but I sort of felt like people were watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I know everybody was on the other side or like on our side of the hallway, like for when we get down there, and then I looked down the hallway, I always felt like it was down there.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Sort of watching us. And I don't know if you guys don't or know or not, but there is on the fourth floor, there's a thing called Big Black. It is this 13-foot tall shadow figure.
No, I've never heard of that.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so when you see it, they say that he blocks out all the light around it, and it's just black.
Wow.
So that's very interesting.
That, yeah, we have to get back there in the summer when it's warm. But yeah, we should definitely, you know, try to go to Waverly and see.
Rent a motorhome and head down there.
You could go there 10 times. The ghosts don't come on command. You know what I mean? Right, like no. It's just, you just never know. And sometimes when you go on those public things, there's a lot of people. So it's really hard to listen quietly and, you know, try to hear something or see something. Cause there's just so much commotion when you get to a place, you know, with a lot of people in there and trying to investigate, you know?
Yeah. There was a lot more than what I thought, for the people wise, there was probably about 30 or maybe a bit more people. But what did happen there was only over the ovulus. That's the only thing that I can sort of count as paranormal, because on the first floor, or on the main floor anyway, there's this room. We sort of went when they were having like their haunted house thing happening. So I don't know if it's always up or not, but on the main floor, there's like this room with this sort of like a big throne. And on each side of the throne is like these devil looking things. And that room is where like a bunch of evil stuff, they said, is at. And somebody, maybe the year before we went, that person was sort of doing something that they weren't supposed to do. And then they got attacked and then they got marked and whatnot. So
gotta be careful, you know, like you gotta be careful what you're inviting to come out and play.
It was sort of bad what happened to that person. But
but you know, that's the thing about these places that, you know, you get all kinds that go in there. You might just have people who are just going to check it out for the historical factor, but then you might have somebody in there who wants to do some type of ritual.
You always have that,
you know. And you just, it's like the Haunted Museum, Zach's Haunted Museum. That's one place that I noticed you had a Las Vegas hat on, and I was like, I think that, you know, I think there's gonna be a lot of stories coming out of that place too, you know.
Yeah, now I want that place. Now I don't know if you guys seen this or not, but they did open a place to weddings.
No.
Yeah, they did. Now I sort of want them to open it to investigation.
Yeah.
I would love to do an investigation at the Haunted Museum.
Yeah.
I think that would be too much. I think with all those haunted objects in there, that something would just jump out and get me. It would. I get an attachment in 2 seconds. Spirit of Elvis or something.
But yeah, so thanks for coming in.
We hate to wrap it up because so there's so much more we need to talk about.
We'll do another show.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back. But
definitely have you back.
Appreciate, you know, and if anybody wants to get a hold of Devin and his group, just go to his Facebook page, Life Spirits Paranormal. They do a great job, and that, you know, if you need help, they'll definitely, you know, get in contact with you.
All right, and as we always say, folks, please get up on our website, check out all the events that we got coming up. We're going to be everywhere this summer.
Yes.
And please, if you like what you hear and brings a little enjoyment to your life, share this show with all your friends.
Yeah. Have them listen in.
Yeah.
All right. So, everybody, we will talk to you next week. Have a great week. Bye, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, Devin. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right.